Hare Krishna. So it is my great pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker today, His Holiness Devamrut Maharaj. Actually, he doesn't need any introduction because we know he comes here every year. But just for my own purification, I would just like to speak briefly about him, introduce him a little. His Holiness Devamrut Maharaj actually is graduated from the Yale University. It is one of the most prestigious universities in the United States. Most of the US presidents have graduated from there. All the top leaders of the world graduate from there. But even though he graduated from the Yale University, had a, you know, a very successful career in front of him, still he decided to give it up when he came in touch with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. He was deeply affected by them. And for many years he was involved in producing and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books which were so dear to Prabhupada. And he also spent a lot of time preaching in the communist countries behind the Iron Curtain, very tough preaching. And now he is traveling all over the world. Especially he has many projects in Australia and New Zealand, developing communities there. And he is also a prolific writer of books. Especially you must probably have read one of his books, Searching for Vedic India. This is like the Bible for, you know, all our youth preachers here in Bombay. So if you have not got hold of a copy yet, I suggest that you take a copy. So let us welcome His Holiness Devamrut Maharaj to our gathering by chanting.
Om Gyanachimidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Thank you for coming tonight and giving me your association. I was thinking what to say to such a distinguished group. I was explaining to Gopal Prabhu that most of my experiences dealing with the overseas adventure of Indians who go to study and work abroad. And the crises that they go through in their studies and at their jobs. But I'm starting to see a lot of similarities as life here in Mumbai and Delhi and Bangalore pursue the same dynamics that you'll find overseas. The question is always there, how to work, how to study and be Krishna conscious at the same time. Is it possible? You may look at me and think, well, you graduated from Yale University, but you did not pursue your corporate career. So perhaps that is an indication that it's not possible to study or work and be Krishna conscious at the same time. But my situation is different. It was different. I wanted to be a specialist. Every field requires a specialist, you see. Not everyone is going to be a specialist, but some are required. Just like those of you who are studying, you have professors. Not everyone who studies will be tomorrow's professor, but professors are required. Similarly, in bhakti, in Krishna consciousness, we require specialists. We require professors. But not that everyone is destined to be a specialist or to be a professor. And the interesting thing is that although I did not pursue my corporate options, I've had experience on every continent of the world in dealing with persons who have pursued their corporate options, their corporate careers. So I've been able to see a lot in my travels around every continent of the world for the past 30 years. The same basic question is there. Can we be Krishna conscious at the workplace, at the university? Is it possible? And how? I think that, first of all, we have to look at the motivation why we are working, why we are studying. If you simply look at the situation by considering you're going to work to get for yourself, or you're studying to get for yourself, then there will be problems. It seems to be a huge gap to cross, that I'm going to work for me, I'm studying for me, and then also I want to be Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is about pleasing Krishna's senses. So, if you have the motivation that you're going to work to please yourself, and you're studying to please yourself, naturally then, you're going to feel some problems in your efforts to be Krishna conscious at the work and at the school. So what to do? Remember the example of Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. For himself, he didn't want to fight the war. He said, Krishna, there's no gain in this. Either way, if I win or lose, I'll be miserable. Why not just forget the whole thing? After all, Krishna, you've spoken about how we're not the body. You've spoken about how we should not be attached to the fruits of our actions. So, what that sounds like to me, Krishna, is a perfect reason not to fight. He said to Krishna, Takim karmani gore mam. Why do you urge me to engage in this horrible warfare? Since you've already given lessons in chapter 1 and chapter 2 about analyzing material nature and seeing the spirit soul is different, detachment from the fruits of activity. I like all that, Krishna. Very good. And it's obvious what you mean. What you mean is I shouldn't fight. But that was not Krishna's meaning. Krishna is teaching Arjuna how to fight in full Krishna consciousness. Krishna has chosen a most provocative situation, a battle, in order to show you that Krishna consciousness can be practiced in any situation. If you have knowledge, if you have guidance. In other words, if Arjuna could live a full Krishna conscious life as a military person engaged in warfare, certainly you can live a full Krishna conscious life engaged at the workplace or engaged at the university, the college. How did Arjuna resolve his situation? He did not fight the battle of Kurukshetra for himself. He used his skills, he used his abilities to please Krishna. Therefore, I'm saying, if you go to work, if you go to college to please yourself, then indeed you're going to scratch your head and wonder, how can I be Krishna conscious in these circumstances? There seems to be such a division, such a gap. But if you go to work, if you go to the college with the idea, I'm doing this to give, everything changes. I'm doing this to give a Krishna conscious lifestyle to myself and to others who are watching me, others who will be interacting with me. That is the great miracle that I see happening here. You have a chance to network. People are watching you. Oh, you have taken Krishna consciousness. Let us see how you are doing. Let us see how you're coping with the world. So in that way, you're going to work, certainly for money. That money is used to give yourself a Krishna-conscious lifestyle. That money is also used to give others a Krishna-conscious lifestyle. Everyone has to live in this world and maintain the body. You're maintaining the body of a devotee. And there are family obligations also. By your discharging your duties properly, people become impressed. Oh, yes. The Krishna conscious person is very responsible, very reliable. In that way, by your behavior with your responsibilities, you're giving Krishna conscious to others. You're giving them the chance to see how the Krishna conscious lifestyle is completely suitable materially and spiritually. You're becoming like an ambassador for Krishna. So if you go to work, if you go to college with that kind of attitude, I'm an ambassador for Krishna. I'm going in order to give Krishna conscious opportunity for myself and for others. Everything becomes clear. But as soon as you start thinking, I'm going to work for me, I'm going to college for me, and why do I have to go through all this? And you may have an attitude of artificial renunciation. No need for me to pay attention to my studies. No need for me to pay attention to my work attitude, because it's all maya, it's all illusion. These kind of misconceptions come because we're thinking we're doing the activity for ourselves. But once again, as soon as you start to think, I'm going to work or I'm studying in order to give Krishna consciousness to myself and others, you get a completely different vision, and Krishna starts to give you intelligence, what to do, how to behave. So please think about this right now. How it is that you can transform your attitude at the workplace, at the educational place. People are watching you. What does the Krishna conscious person act like? How does the Krishna conscious person discharge his responsibilities? They're watching. Your family is watching. So you act in such a way that persons will become inspired about Krishna consciousness. That's going to work to give others an opportunity to be Krishna conscious because they're inspired by watching you. To give to your family, because after a while, as the years go by, your family will also be inspired. Often in the beginning, families may think, oh, this is something you're doing for a short time. But then when they see you consistent year after year and consistent in very nice behavior, very responsible attitude, they start to change. I remember when I took up Krishna consciousness in the brahmachari lifestyle. My father didn't tell me for maybe 20 years. 20 years later, actually he didn't tell me, my mother told me, 20 years afterwards, that when I went from Yale University, graduating to the Brahmachari Ashram, my father, he wanted to commit me to a mental institution. He couldn't believe it. What is this? My boy has graduated from Yale. I was there at the same time George Bush was there. The Clintons were in law school. Both Bill Clinton and his wife were in law school. All these persons. So my father, he was shocked. He couldn't believe it. He has attained the supreme destination. He has surpassed Indra in opulence. He has attained the planet of Lord Brahma. And he just walks away from it. So I didn't find out for 20 years until my mother told me that my father wanted to take me to a mental institution, but he couldn't do it because my mother wouldn't agree. But after, as the years went by, my father, he mellowed out. And he made a peace deal with me. Son, all right, I don't mind what you do as long as you don't try to convert me. And certainly, as the years went by, he benefited because he got an opportunity to engage in some service for Krishna. He would come and visit the temple. Think about it. How you can perform your work life and your study life so that you're giving Krishna conscious opportunities to others. But if you just think about me, I don't feel like working properly today. I don't feel like doing my studies. I think I'll just get into bhakti. But bhakti means, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, all that you do, do as an offering for me. So here, at the Radha Gopinath Mandir, you can learn the skills how to properly discharge your working and studying responsibilities in such a way that you're giving Krishna consciousness to others. Because here, people, when I say here, I mean in the cities of India, people take these work and study responsibilities very seriously. And if a devotee is seen to be a slacker, to be someone who's goofing off, people are not inspired. So a devotee looks at the situation and sees what's the best way I can act for Krishna. That's living to please Krishna's senses, living to give rather than to get. Just like Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna thought, oh, the best thing, what I feel like doing, is not fighting. Let me just go away from the battlefield. But Krishna explained to him, that's not the best thing for you, actually. It's not the best thing for others. It's not the best thing for me. So please think deeply how you can execute your work and educational responsibilities so that you give Krishna consciousness to others. That is the situation here in this part of the world. And this is where you are in this part of the world. I'll tell you something interesting, though. It can be different in other parts of the world. Just recently, in New Zealand, there was one devotee, and he got a job in the IT department of a hospital. And he started doing 10 times as much work as anyone else in his department. All the bosses were pleased with him. But the bosses were just a few, you know, maybe one person above him and then another person on top. But there were many, many persons on his level, and they were becoming very disturbed. Like, you know, they were telling him, don't work so hard, don't work so hard. You're making us look bad. He was doing 10 times their output, processing payroll checks or something like that. And all the other persons in the IT department were looking at him like, ugh. And they were starting to say to him, hey, you know, we heard you're a Hare Krishna. You're supposed to be spiritual. What are you doing working so hard? So I actually had to tell him, you know, you're giving the Hare Krishna movement a bad image. Just, just chill out. Just like everyone else, you know. Otherwise, people were, you know, getting the wrong idea. Because according to their conception, when you become spiritual, you don't work so diligently. That's their conception. So in this case, I had to tell the devotee, just do like everyone else, you know. Otherwise, they all become upset. They think that Hare Krishnas aren't spiritual. So now he's doing like everyone else. They all leave the office early on Fridays, leave the office at 2:30 to go 2:30 in the afternoon, to go to the beach, to go to the mountains like that. So he does that too. Now they're all happy and they're asking him questions about Krishna. Yes, yes, you are truly a spiritual person. But it's not like that here. Here's the reverse. So a devotee is one who's expert in seeing what's best for Krishna in every circumstance. Here, it's the reverse. If you're not expert, diligent, and focused in discharging your work and educational responsibilities, people, they think there's something wrong. Oh, this shows you that bhakti is not good for living in this world. Bhakti was good for another age in previous ages. But now in the technological age, bhakti is not good. We want to give Krishna consciousness to others, so therefore we look and see how, as parts and parcels of Krishna, as devotees of Krishna, we can act in whatever way so others can get Krishna consciousness, and we ourselves can get Krishna consciousness. Your families too. That is being unselfish. Not that, oh, I'm a devotee now, so I don't have to worry. Let my studies go down. Let my workplace endeavor go down. You can't do that here. It's not paying attention to what's best for Krishna. Naturally, there are challenges at the workplace, in the colleges, because more and more, the dealings with the opposite sex are becoming very free. And if you are seen to totally avoid any communication with the opposite sex, persons wonder about you. What is wrong with your psychology? So you have to think, how can I protect my spiritual life and at the same time act in such a way that my work and studies are not compromised? A devotee is always thinking like that. This is Krishna consciousness. What's the best way to act for Krishna in these circumstances? Obviously, you cannot act like you're a brahmachari living in the temple. As soon as the lady says something, you know, you walk the other way. You can't do that. You're at work. You're at school, maybe in some kind of study group or project group. You can't do it. So one has to learn how to be very respectful and externally sociable, but don't put your heart and mind into it. This is all part of the devotional lifestyle. How to be respectful in your dealings with others, attentive in your dealings with others, but there's no obligation that you put your heart into it and start revealing your mind to others. If you follow that rule, you'll stay out of trouble. Sometimes, though, even you try to mind your own business while being respectful, and still trouble comes to you. I sometimes some years ago, I gave an example here in Chaupati, Radha Gopinath Mandir, an example from Sydney, Australia. There was one hotshot overseas Indian, very nice boy. He was had just become employed by what was at the time the foremost management consultant firm, McKinsey. So he had attained that supreme destination. So he got the job, and he was about 25 years old, and he was put in a section of the firm, and he was working under an Australian girl who was about the same age. She didn't have his education. She had joined the company when she was 18 and worked her way up. So she was the department head, and he, as a new person, he was under her, at least for some time until he got more experience. So on day one, this 25-year-old Australian girl let him know what the score was. So, I know you people from India. I know what you think about women. I'm going to show you what reality is like. You people from India. No, you people. You people from India. You think that women are not intelligent. You think that women should just do whatever you say. Well, now I am the boss. And you'll have to do everything I say. So she made his work day hellish, day after day after day. He went to the superiors, the top managers of the McKinsey's office, and they told him, yes, we know she's treating you badly, but you should just take this as a test. The BACTA program. Take it as a test. If you really have bhakti for McKinsey, you will tolerate the coming and goings of happiness and distress. Tums the tixus for bharata. You see, if you don't give bhakti to Krishna, Maya makes you devoted for the illusory energy. But he was a devotee of Krishna. So, what could he do? The superiors at McKinsey told him, we know she's giving you a hard time, but this is part of your introduction to the company, and if you pass this test, there'll be bigger things in store for you. So, day after day, he went through this hell as she just treated him so badly to show him that Australian girls weren't like Indian women, and that he was going to understand what reality was. So, this went on for some months. Then one Monday, after a weekend, he came to work. And she was there at her desk with red eyes, and as soon as he walked in, she said, oh, I've been waiting for you to come. I've had such a horrible weekend. Wouldn't you like to go out with me for coffee and we can talk about it? He went, oh, he was like, he couldn't believe it. After 4 months of hell every day, all of a sudden, you know, after, you know, she had a tough weekend, and now she's just, you know, oh, please come out with me, let's talk. He had to really think quick to make an excuse. He said, actually, my doctors told me I can't have coffee, you see. And I don't think we have time to go out because, you know, I have so much workload from last week that you gave me that I have I haven't finished it yet. Because they gave him intelligence. But he was really bewildered, like, oh my God, you know, this girl has just given me hell for 3 months, and now all of a sudden it's the opposite. She's trying to start a relationship. These things happen. But because he understood the principle that he's going to work in order to give Krishna consciousness, he certainly didn't go out with her, and nor did he treat her in a negative way. He just was very businesslike. No, I'm sorry, I'm not able to do that. Doctor says I can't have coffee, and you know, we have this big deadline that you gave me, and so like that. And after some time, the girl was transferred to another department, and he was given a promotion. These kind of challenges, they come. It is possible for the devotee to deal with these challenges. The main principle in dealing with persons who are not Krishna conscious at the workplace, at the university, the college, the main principle is don't open up your mind. You see, there are six loving exchanges, as explained by Rupa Goswami in Sri Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. Giving charity, receiving charity, giving prasad, receiving prasad, opening the mind, and the other person opens the mind to you. The two loving exchanges of opening the mind to each other, that is very dangerous with non-devotees. Because by your opening the mind, you just start talking about how the day was, and I feel like this, you feel like that, and it's very dangerous. This is how the contaminations of material existence are passed from one person to another. So a devotee does not reveal his heart or his mind to a non-devotee. If you remember that principle, then you'll know how to be sociable without getting into trouble. The trouble starts when you reveal the heart, reveal the mind. You need to become expert at how to be respectfully sociable in a nice external way, just so the work can go on, so the studies can go on. That's all. But now you're thinking, but we need someone to reveal our heart, someone to reveal our mind to. That's why we have the Association of Devotees. Plug yourself in to a solid schedule of devotee events. Those events will allow you to build friendships with others. And with devotees, you can reveal your mind, reveal your heart, and the end result will be that your bhakti increases. No man is an island. You have to reveal your heart and mind to someone. So at the college, at the workplace, you're polite. There's nothing wrong with being polite, but politeness doesn't mean you're opening your heart, opening your mind. You save that for devotee association. And you must have camaraderie. You must have the kind of friendships in which you can open your heart and open your mind. Therefore, here at the Radha Gopinath Mandir, there's so many events that you can take part in. And you'll meet you'll meet the best persons in the world. And your heart's satisfaction, your mind's tranquility will know no boundaries. That we are devotees doesn't mean that we cannot be respectful or sensitive to others, but it also means we know how to protect ourselves for Krishna's pleasure. Once you start to think, how can I act so I can give Krishna consciousness? You'll understand how to behave at home with the family, how to behave at the workplace, how to behave in the classroom. Parents may think, oh, you're taking too much to Krishna consciousness. You're not going to be successful in your material endeavors. But when they see that you're very respectful, when they see that indeed you are attentive to your material endeavors, they relax after a while. But I don't think you'll do that. But if you take a very self-righteous attitude, I am a devotee. They'll obviously take things the wrong way. And you won't be giving Krishna consciousness. You'll be using Krishna consciousness as an excuse to just please yourself. When a devotee actually is always acting to please Krishna. I can tell you a story. When I first took up Krishna consciousness, very early 1973. So, at that time, the worldwide Krishna conscious effort was very new. So, we were all so young. At that time, practically speaking, in the ISKCON society, there was only one adult, Srila Prabhupada. Everyone else is a kid, you know? So we didn't know all the things that you know now. We didn't have all the experience guidance that you have now. I remember the first time my mother, my aunt, and my cousins came to visit me at the temple. They walked in, and the older devotees at the temple, older devotee then meant 3 years. You were a devotee for 3 years. You were a senior Vaishnava. So I remember, as my mother and aunt and my cousins were walking in, the older devotees told me, ooh, they look very pious. But I just thought, they're just materialist. They're just in Maya. So the devotees showed us to a room where we all could sit and take prasad. And then I began to lecture. My mother, by that time, was how old? Probably maybe 45 years old, and her sister was probably 47, like that. I began to lecture Bhagavad Dharma about how we have to give up intoxication and illicit sex. I was going on and on, you know. Because those were hot issues for young persons of that time. So, yeah, I just assume, you know, that's what Krishna consciousness is about. So, you have to give up intoxication and illicit sex. You know, as my mother's there, she's 45, my aunt's there, she's 47. Finally, you know, my mother listened for about 10 minutes. Then she finally turned to me and said, you know, honey, I think we're a bit too old for all that. You know, I was fired up. I was, you know, a new devotee, and I wanted to, you know, preach the Bhagavad Dharma. So, of course, none of you do anything like that now. We just had no experience back then. So, being a Krishna conscious person means acting in such a way that others will get Krishna consciousness. Approach your studies, approach your job, approach your family dealings in that way. Don't be selfish. Arjuna's decision not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita was selfish. He wasn't considering others. He wasn't considering Krishna. So, the best thing for you to do is to reevaluate. Just go over your whole behavior and performance at home, at the workplace, at school, and see, am I acting in such a way that I am giving Krishna conscious opportunities to others, or am I just pleasing myself? Being a devotee is the greatest art, the greatest science, the greatest culture. It's not about rejecting the material world. It's about using the material world for Krishna's pleasure because the world belongs to Krishna. The thing we have to be careful about is opening our hearts and minds. That's fatal when you open your heart and your mind to a non-devotee. Because then you'll get a full contamination of all sorts of material desires and Kali Yuga aspirations. There's a big difference between opening your heart and your mind to a non-devotee and being sociable and respectful. Big difference. So I hope that if you can master this lesson, going to work, going to study, dealing with your family, so that they get Krishna conscious opportunities, either now or in the future. If you master this principle, you'll be at peace. Especially if you cultivate deep devotee friendships. And I've heard you have so many opportunities here to do that. Remember, no man is an island. That's true materially, and it's also true spiritually. I think I will stop here and see if you have any questions about this essential point of working and studying in order to give Krishna conscious opportunities to yourself and others. Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. So, we can see from the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna ultimately won the battle under the supreme guidance of the Krishna. So, wherever we are outside for studying and working, so people judge us as a devotee by seeing our results. So they do not see our efforts as a Krishna conscious person. So if we are not able to clear our exams, then they judge us that because of your Krishna consciousness, you have failed. And if we get passed, then they say that, yes, because you reduce your Krishna conscious attention and you concentrated more on your studies, so you are succeeding. So, how can we see these situations and dilemma, and how can we ensure that even though the result may be positive or negative, but still we are Krishna conscious in our efforts? This is my question.
You simply try to do the best thing for Krishna's pleasure. You don't want people to make that mistake of thinking that devotional service ruins your material career. That's not a favorable impression in this part of the world. And this is where you are. I already explained how in New Zealand, we had to tell the person, devotee, the opposite, that, you're working too hard, 10 times better than any other person in your department. And so everyone is thinking, this is not spiritual. You're supposed to be a Hare Krishna, and you're working so hard making us look bad. Come on, be a spiritual guy. Just chill and just calm down like the rest of us. But it's not like that here. So we have to look and see what's best for Krishna's pleasure. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The very work environment which you are in is not actually Krishna conscious environment, in sense like the very activity is not a direct activity which can even connect to devotional service, like if you are working in IT industry or something, the very activity is more of not a direct activity which has no link to devotional service. Though we try to dovetail our works as an offering, there is every chance of contamination, every chance of getting into that mode of doership mentality.
Mode of what?
Doership mentality. Doer. I am the doer.
Oh, okay.
The doership mentality.
Yes.
So, how do we take care? How do we do this? How do we...
You daily think about why you're doing what you're doing. It requires a daily meditation and re-meditation. Don't get locked into performing any activity in a mechanical way. Part of the offering to Krishna is to think about why you're doing what you're doing and how to do better. This will be easy to do, this kind of daily reevaluation, if you have your chanting there. Attentive chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra gives you the enthusiasm for always reviewing your activities and seeing, am I doing this to please me or am I doing this to give Krishna consciousness to others? It's a great responsibility to be a devotee. It's a joyful responsibility. Once we become purified from our selfish contaminations, we'll indeed see it's a joy to act responsibly for Krishna. And that means daily you have to look at what you're doing and why. You can try this. It just takes maybe 5 or 10 minutes, the daily review. What am I doing today? Why am I doing it? How can I act in such a way to give Krishna conscious possibilities to myself, first of all, and to others? And Krishna will give you more intelligence. Okay? Yes. They'll bring you the microphone. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Maharaj, sorry. Actually, I was thinking that as you have nicely explained that how to do work on your workplace or go for the studies, as we are aspiring brahmacharis at present, we many of us in this
really?
Ashram.
Really?
We are trying.
How many here are aspiring brahmacharis? Hey, some. You don't want to scare the others away. Hey, go on.
In this ashram, we are taking brahmachari training. And after this, we will be going back to our home. And our parents are thinking that we will be back. But at present, we are thinking that we will come back to this temple again. And from last 1 or 2 months, each of us parents are in dilemma that if we will...
Each of the parents of us?
They are in dilemma.
Yes.
That they will come, or if we will not come, their attitude towards Krishna conscious movement will be totally disturbed. That Krishna conscious movement is like that they are taking their children away from their house, they are making them brahmacharis, and whole of the community get disturbed. Like in small cities and big cities, it might not happen like that, where Krishna conscious movement is very fast spreading, but in small cities it will be a great impact. So how to manage all these things at that stage, that their faith should be remain in Krishna conscious, and they can be very polite with us.
In order to be a brahmachari, for those of you who are concerned with that, you must take guidance. Guidance is the backbone of brahmachari life. Here you will get the best guidance how to handle all those situations. There's no need to make these things into a huge problem in our mind. Oh, what am I going to do? You simply take advantage of the guidance that's here. They have seen these situations thousands of times. It's like a rerun movie for them, you know? For you, it may look like, oh, how am I going to handle this? No one has ever been through this before. Oh, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? But if you talk to the experienced brahmacharis, they have seen this movie thousands of times. Isn't this, huh? There's nothing new. So if you are desiring to be a brahmachari, guidance will be an active part of your life. I'll tell you what happens, like in Australia. With the overseas students and young professionals, they start becoming involved in Krishna consciousness, coming to the mandir once a week, and then they start to chant and read the books, and then they start living with other devotees. They get a flat together and increase their Krishna consciousness, a flat near the temple. And then, sooner or later, the inevitable happens. The call comes from India. What is this? It seems that every time that we call for you, you're at the mandir. Our family is a very religious family. We have nothing against the mandir and the gods. But once a month is sufficient. So at that point, we have to restrain these new devotees, because their tendency is they want to just, yes, you know, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm doing it. And we have to just calm them down and just say, you know, be very gradual with your parents, because you don't want to alarm them. Because the conception of the parents and the grandparents is, oh, you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're going to the mandir once a week, that means you're going to be a brahmachari. Immediately, that, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. Going to the mandir more than once a month and chanting 16 rounds Hare Krishna means brahmachari. Ah, our family is finished. So these new candidates in Krishna consciousness have to learn how to nicely, gently, and moderately deal with their family, not to put their family in distress. Of course, they have an advantage. There's a big ocean between the family and them. Often, this is what happens. Once the news is there amongst the family here in India, after a few months goes by, and then the mother will fly over to investigate, see what the son is doing. And after a few months, the mother starts to see. She goes to the programs with the son. She gets a hotel near the temple, somehow she finds a place to live near the temple, and she starts going to all the programs. After 2 or 3 months, the mother says, this is very nice. And the mother starts to chant Hare Krishna. And then the mother, she decides she's going to prolong her visitor's visa. And then the father, he started to wonder, what's going on? First the son, now the mother. So then the father flies over. What's going on here? It's happened to me so many times. I remember one time I was sitting there. The son was there, the mother were there, both were chanting 16 rounds and doing devotional service, and the father had just flown over in alarm to, yeah, he was, what's going on? Yeah. So the father, he began to explain to him, no, I have nothing against religion. I'm glad my boy is practicing religion. My wife now is also. But we have to be careful that we do not become fanatics. You know, the Muslims, they have so many fanatics. We don't want to be like that. I have heard that they're not taking tea anymore. This is fanaticism. I've heard they're not taking onions anymore. This is extremism. Swamiji, you know, as well as I know, that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says no extremism. Now, my boy, he's 31 years old. He's doing well in his corporation. He's an accountant. But I tell you, if when my boy is 65 years old and he's still at the same level in the corporation, he won't be happy. His whole life will have been a waste. My boy must rise on the corporate ladder. And he made this. He must rise on the corporate ladder. Again and again, he would make this point to me. My boy must rise on the corporate ladder. So I told him, we have no objection to your boy. He can do all that in Krishna consciousness. So we had a nice discussion, and the father calmed down a bit. And his conclusion was, all right, my son, he can do like this as long as it doesn't affect his career. My wife, she can practice Krishna consciousness as long as she does not try to push it on me. In that way, our family will have peace in the family. All right, Swamiji, we'll let it be like that. Then the wife, he goes home. He flies back to Delhi. And then a month later, the wife flies back. And 6 months later, I hear, now he's chanting 16 rounds. I saw him in Delhi a few months ago. Oh, Swamiji, I am so happy. I'm such a happy man. I have such a beautiful family. My son, he's a devotee. My wife is a devotee. Now I'm also a devotee. I'm so happy. So I asked him, I'm very happy that you're happy in Krishna consciousness. And we had a nice discussion, and he was in a very good mood. So as he was leaving, I said, oh, by the way, what about the corporate ladder? He said, Swamiji, whether my son rises on the corporate ladder or not, the main thing is that he's a Krishna Bhakta. So this devotee, this boy had treated his mother and father very nicely. They were a little concerned at first, but then they saw that Krishna consciousness is very nice, and now they're also practicing. Any other questions? Yes. We'll give you the microphone. What's our time situation?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Actually, generally nowadays we see in offices the people like to work late night, and that disturbs the devotees, like, because the office, in the office, colleagues generally they like to work late hours, like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, And when we are working among them, and we try to work little 1 or 2 hours, but it, like every day we are leaving, they feel that every day is leaving early, 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 early. One time I joined a company where Saturday and Saturday is also holiday. But later I found that every Saturday they are calling me, means come, we have to work overtime. And I found that it's not much effective. So how to tackle such a...
Yes, if possible, a devotee should have a job which will not make his spiritual life impossible. If you try for that, Krishna will help you. Sometimes you may go through a tough situation, you know, because this world is tough. But if you always try to act in such a way that maximizes your Krishna consciousness, you'll find that Krishna helps you. I like to tell the story how a few years ago in Melbourne, Australia, at IBM, a big IBM managemental guru flew over from the USA to make the IT staff in Melbourne enthusiastic, more enthusiastic. So he was speaking in an auditorium of 300 IT workers for IBM. And it was a spotlight on him. The lights were dim and just the spotlight was on this managemental guru. And he was lecturing to all the staff, the 300. What kind of person will IBM retain? He was walking up and down the aisles on the stage. He was from India, but he was spent all his life in America. So he began to say, I want to know, who are the ones of you that as soon as you wake up in the morning, as soon as you open your eyes, I want to know, who are the ones who think of your work? These are the ones we will retain. All others can go. So he walked up and down the aisles. Are you like that? When you open your eyes in the morning, do you think of your job? And there were quite a few devotees in the audience. And when he got to them, when you wake up in the morning, do you think of your job? So yes, that's the nature of the workplace, especially today. They try to squeeze you more and more. Especially with the global economic meltdown, they're squeezing more and more. So after all that big talk about how only the dedicated IT people, the ones who think about their job as soon as their eyes open, those are the ones we're going to keep. You know what happened? What do you think happened? IBM just downsized everything and outsourced all their jobs to India. Everyone was put out of work. So yes, you have to work in such a way that you don't destroy your Krishna conscious opportunities. You have to try your best. Krishna knows when you're trying your best. Maybe sometimes you have to change if possible. Life in this world is not nice, materially. But Krishna consciousness makes everything different. So I thank you very much for your kind attention. I appreciate very much your enthusiasm and your desire to remember Krishna in all circumstances and to act in a way that's pleasing to Krishna. Regardless of the situations you're in, at home, at work, at school, be sincere, act under guidance, and Krishna will give you all intelligence. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So I think you'll all agree that we have been extremely fortunate to get such wonderful tips from such an expert spiritualist as to how to handle a life, you know, how to live a life in the workplace and in the college and studying environment. So let us express our gratitude to Maharaj by loudly chanting Hari Bol. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.